So we are continuing our Lenten look at the Psalms and this progression that we see there about how we live life with God and embrace the new life that Christ brings with Easter. We started with awe, the first psalm we looked at, that the first step of this journey is recognizing the glory of God and standing in awe of who God is. And then when we stand in awe of the glory of God, we realize that we are not God. And that leads us to the next step, which is confession. We acknowledge our sin, our mistakes, our pain, how far we fall short of the glory of God. Well, when we recognize that we are not God, we take the next step, which is realizing how much we depend on God. That's what we looked at last week. We realized that we can't always make life work on our own, that we depend on God to provide for us. So we call out to God saying, I am insufficient on my own. I need your help. I depend on you. And that brings us to our psalm for this week. And this is one that I really struggled with all week. These psalms that we've been looking at are drawn from the lectionary, which is the calendar of assigned scripture readings for each week. So I didn't pick them out on my own, but when I looked at what the lectionary had assigned, I saw this theme and this progression running throughout them. When I first looked at this psalm weeks ago, my first thought was worship. That's the next step. We come to see our dependency on God, how God provides for us, and that leads us to worship and praise and celebrate God. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into God's presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to God with songs of praise. This psalm is all about worshiping and praising God. Until we get to verse 7. And then it's like a completely different psalm. We get all this talk about the people of Israel hardening their hearts and testing God and going astray and God loathing them, being angry with them, punishing them. That's not very celebratory language. What do we do with that? My first inclination was, let's just ignore that. We've got all the rest of this psalm that's about worship and celebration, and that's a pretty good theme to go with. Like, we'll read the whole psalm, but we'll only focus on the first half. It's easy to ignore the painful or problematic aspects of scripture or faith or life and focus only on the good, happy, celebratory aspects. We want to come here and be built up and encouraged and feel good, right? We want to hear good news. We want to sing and celebrate and make a joyful noise to God with songs of praise. We want to take that step. We don't necessarily want to hear about God loathing and being angry and punishing. But the fact remains that it's there. And we can't just ignore it. We have to figure out what to do with it, where it fits in our understanding of God and of faith, and or how it can shape our understanding of God and faith. And the more that I looked at the second half of this psalm, the more I saw it connecting to the first half. And so we're going to take a look at that. But first, I have to tell you about a date that Jen and I went on. It was a couple of weeks ago. Jen and I got a babysitter and went out to dinner at a restaurant in that new outdoor shopping center in King of Prussia. Right? We were really looking forward to this. Just a chance to go out by ourselves without kids, share a good meal, talk, catch up. We had reservations at this new place that we've been wanting to try. It was kind of like an upscale sports bar and pub that looked like it had really good food. So we got there, we walked in, and it was literally the loudest restaurant I have ever been in my life. It was one large room. So there weren't like separate dining rooms or dividers or anything. It was one big room that was filled with people, including a party of 55 that was there for an after-work event. And so on top of all of these people talking, there was music blasting out of the speakers and TVs all around the place showing basketball games. We could barely hear the hostess as she took us to our table. And as we got there, I'm thinking, I'm going to have to sit next to her in this booth. Because otherwise, if we have to sit across the table from each other, we're not going to be able to hear each other in here. We had been looking forward to spending this time together and talking without kids and nurturing our relationship, because you need to do that, right? Or else the relationship suffers. But it was so noisy in there that we could barely hear each other. The first half of this psalm is like that. When I hear these first 7 verses, I picture a loud, raucous, noisy celebration. I picture dancing and shouting and singing and music playing, making a joyful noise and singing songs of praise. I mean, these aren't people who are standing up and singing these somber songs of praise. These are people who are pouring out their gratitude to God for who God is and how God has delivered them. So this is a noisy, lively celebration. And that is definitely a part of nurturing our relationship with God and taking that next step. It's singing and praising and giving thanks for who God is and what God has done. That's part of it. But that can't be all of it. Because if all you're doing is singing, then you aren't listening. If all you're doing is talking and praising, then you can't hear. If your life is so noisy that you cannot hear God or the needs of your neighbor, then the relationship suffers. So we get this first half of singing and celebrating and praising God, and then in verse 7 it says, "Oh, that today you would listen to God's voice." It's like the psalmist is saying, okay, stop. Stop the music, stop the singing, and listen. Because now God has something to say. And then we get this shift in the psalm where it goes from speaking about God to first person language, me, I, God speaking. So it's like all up until now, the people have, it's been this call to praise and celebrate God. And then the psalmist says, okay, stop. It's God's turn. And then God speaks and the people are invited just to listen. And God says, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day of Massa in the wilderness, when your ancestors tested me and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. This is it's talking about when the people of Israel were set free from slavery in Egypt. They were in the wilderness, wandering around the wilderness, walking back to the promised land. They have no water. They're up in the middle of the desert. There's no water to drink. So they started fighting and complaining to Moses that God had just brought them out of Egypt to die of thirst in the wilderness. They didn't trust that God would provide for them and take care of them. So Moses strikes a rock with his staff, and water starts flowing from the rock, water that the people can drink. So God provides. And Moses called the place where this happened Massa and Meribah, which means test and quarrel, because they tested and quarreled with Moses and with God. So in this psalm, God is reminding the people of this time when their ancestors didn't trust God, didn't listen to God. And God says, because they didn't listen to my voice, because they did not obey me and walk in my ways, they didn't get to enter the promised land. The next generation did, but they didn't. And that word, listen, in verse 7, oh, that today you would listen to God's voice. That word listen is kind of the thing that joins these two parts together, the first half of the psalm and the second half. It's the Hebrew word shema. Let me hear you say shema.
Shema.
Shema is a critically important Hebrew word, one that would have carried a lot of weight and significance for the Jewish people. There's this verse in Deuteronomy where we first get introduced to it. when God is just about to give the law to the people of Israel. And God says to them, Shema Yisrael, hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And so that became like a central confession of faith for the people of Israel. It's like we as Christians say, Jesus is Lord. They would say the Shema, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And here's the thing, that word Shema, it means hear, it means listen, but it also, at the same time, means obey. It carries this double connotation of hear and then do what you have heard. So if you put all of this together with the first half of the psalm, we start to see how they connect. It's saying in the first half, yes, it is important to worship and praise and give thanks to God. That is an important part of nurturing your relationship with God and taking this next step. But if we do not listen to God's voice and do what God says, then our worship is meaningless. It's just empty noise. If we come here and sing songs of praise and pray prayers, but we don't go out from here and live in ways that are obedient to God, then have we really praised God and brought glory to God? If we go out from here and do not love our neighbor, feed those who are hungry, care for those who are poor and sick and alone, if we do not work to bring about justice for those who are being wronged and oppressed, strive to bring about forgiveness and reconciliation between enemies, if we don't do that, then we have not listened to God's voice or regarded God's ways, and our worship was just noise. God is saying to the people of Israel and to us in this psalm, I created you. I have provided for you. You have seen my work. You can trust me. I know what is good and right for you and for this world. And I can lead you in that way if you'll just listen to my voice. It's like how I approached this psalm this week. I came into this week with an idea already in my head of what this psalm was saying and where this was all going. And it's like I was doing all the talking and expecting God to listen to me and just kind of go along with the idea that I already had for this. But when I opened myself up and really sought to listen to God's voice, to what God was saying in this, then it's like I saw the whole thing in a completely new way. Sometimes we are so busy talking, filling our lives with noise, that we can't listen. And if we don't listen, then we can't do what God wants us to do. And our relationships with God and with our neighbor suffer. If we realize how much we depend on God, then we have to listen to God and follow God's will for our lives. If we do that, then we will take the next step toward a life lived with God. So let us take just a moment now and listen to what God might be saying to us. Gracious God, when we stop and listen, we can hear birds singing. We can hear our own breathing. We get more in tune with ourselves and with the world around us, and maybe we can hear your still small voice speaking. Our ears, our hearts, and our minds, open our lives. We could make space for you to speak. When we hear you, then we can sing out with songs of praise. We can do what you are calling us to do, be the people you are calling us to be, and live the lives you created us to live.